Because you say, well, how do you introduce a question and answers lesson? If you've done them now for about 5 years, you think, well, you about ran out of material as to how to introduce them. And so you have to really start looking hard. And as I was thinking about this introduction, this question came to my mind. Are there any questions that do not have answers to them? So I typed it in Google. Are there any questions that do not have answers? And I was amazed. There are questions that don't have answers. Take for instance, do stairs go up or down? No answer to that, is there? How about this one? How do you handcuff a one-armed man? Here's one. If you try to fail and succeed, which have you done? Now you have to go home and think about that one for a little while. Okay? Here's another one. What's another word for thesaurus? What do you say to that? And then here's the one. What is a question called? No answer. Now, wouldn't it be great if there were some questions that you asked and submitted to me and I could just say, this is a question with no answer, and we just go on? See, what I would do is I would pick three of those and I would say, we have three questions today. And we'd be out of here in no time. But the reality is most of the questions that you ask have answers, and sometimes lengthy answers, aren't there? But today is our question and answers day, and that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be answering the questions that you have submitted in this particular segment this morning. Three questions. Here's the first one. Since marijuana has been legalized in some places, is it okay for a Christian to use it? Let's start with an answer. Folks, there are two kinds of laws that exist in our society. The first law is the law of God. David writes of that law in Psalm 19 verse 7, and he says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Folks, this is the prevailing law. What I mean by that is this: it is the supreme law. It is the law that is above every other law. But there is a second kind of law that operates in our world, and that is the law of men. Those laws operate in our homes, don't they? How many dads have looked at their children and says, boy, I'm the law in this house. And a kid gets that. And guess what? Dad is the law, isn't he? And sometimes mama says that too, and dad understands. That's supposed to be a joke. There are laws of our land, the civil land, that we are to obey. There are even laws that are not found in the Bible, but yet they are laws that you and I obey within the church because the elders have made certain laws that we are to submit to. What's interesting is this is delegated authority. It is authority that God has delegated to man, and He expects us to obey those laws, doesn't He? Submit yourself unto every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, 1 Peter 2, verse 13. But the laws of man never trump the laws of the Almighty God. Now what we have to do is make application of that, isn't it? And the application very simply is this: just because man makes a law about something does not mean that God's law permits that to be done. Did you know that there are 16 counties in Nevada that allow prostitution, and the county in which Las Vegas is located is not one of them. I didn't know that. But it is not one of them. You have to have less than 400,000 people in your county for that to transpire. But there are 16 counties out there that allow prostitution. It is a legal profession in that particular state. So can a Christian leave the state of Florida, go out to Nevada, and just start a business of prostitution? And then claim, hey, it's legal? No, we know better than that, don't we? You can leave this building today and you can go into different places in Jacksonville and you can buy you all kinds of alcohol to drink that you want. But is it okay for a Christian to just imbibe in all kinds of alcohol? No. All 50 states within the United States allow abortion, but are we now going to just encourage all of our young people, yeah, just go have an abortion. It's a good, healthy form of not having children. No, we're not going to say that. Just because man's law permits something does not mean that all of a sudden now it's okay. You see, it has to first conform to the law of God. So we ask the question, why shouldn't Christians use marijuana? First, it negatively impacts the brain of man. There are three major impacts that marijuana has upon the mind of man. First, it relaxes the brain. Rather than a person being very coherent, rather than a person being very sharp, rather than a person being able to make reasoned judgments, it takes that ability away because the brain relaxes having smoked marijuana. Secondly, our reaction time is lowered. And oftentimes it's a good thing to have reaction time, isn't it? You're driving your car, a car pulls out in front of you. You want to know what I want to have? As little reaction time as possible, don't you? I want it to happen in seconds, but you smoke marijuana. You increase your reaction time, and accidents occur because of that. Also, smoking marijuana causes us to drop our inhibitions. Our inhibitions are lessened. In other words, things you would say, things you wouldn't do, guess what? When you smoke marijuana, you will do those things because your inhibitions are now lessened. You don't care as much. And you think it's fun, and you think it's exciting, and you laugh about things that you would never do had you smoked or not smoked marijuana. You see, here's the point. The brain, when you smoke marijuana, is intoxicated. And if your brain is intoxicated, what is meant by that is you are not sober. Paul wrote to Titus chapter 2, verse 1, and he said this, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." I find that's interesting, especially as you continue to read the next five verses. Because he's not talking about things that are written when he's writing about sound doctrine. He's talking about our manner of life and how we live our Christian life. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine relative to the way men live their lives. He divides the church into four groups. Aged men, aged women, young women, and young men. That about gets it, doesn't it? Those are four groups within the church. And he tells them particular qualities that they are to manifest, that they are to demonstrate in order to show that they are living lives in accordance with the doctrine of Christ. And there is one that is common to all. and the one is soberness. That the aged men be sober. He then says this, that the aged women teach the younger women to be sober. Folks, you can't teach something you are not. So if the older women are to teach the younger women to be sober, they first have to be sober themselves. And then he says, young men likewise, that they be sober-minded. Have you ever looked up the definition of the word sober in the Bible? It means this, not intoxicated. That's the first definition, not intoxicated. God does not want our minds intoxicated with foreign substances that will not allow us to think and behave the way we are supposed to think and behave. God wants us to be sober individuals, and the smoking of marijuana takes away soberness and replaces it with intoxication. And that is one reason a Christian cannot participate in it. Notice secondly, marijuana can have some immediate negative effects on an individual. Most individuals think this, the very moment you start smoking marijuana, you get this high and you start feeling good. Ooh, I just feel so good. And you get hungry and get the munchies. That's what most people think. There are many individuals, however, when they smoke marijuana, they feel fear, anxiety, distrust, and even panic, folks. Notice this website, quote, drugabuse.gov. They write the following. People who have taken large doses of marijuana may experience acute psychosis. Yeah, give me psychosis. And what they mean by that, it includes hallucinations, delusions, and a loss of the sense of personal identity. Can you imagine that? All of a sudden you begin to smoke marijuana and you smoke more than you ought to be smoking, and then all of a sudden you are in a psychotic state, hallucinating, delusions. You don't even know who you are. Paul addresses that matter, doesn't he? In 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Now listen to that third statement. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If I'm going to ingest something that's going to take away my sense of personal identity, that's going to make me hallucinate, that's going to make me delusional, that's going to cause me to fear and panic and distrust individuals, why in the world would I take that kind of stuff into my body? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Thirdly, there's other dangers to marijuana. Number one, it can tempt one to use other drugs. Most individuals will tell you that marijuana is not a gateway drug. In other words, it's your first drug that opens the door to other drugs. Because there's a lot of individuals who take marijuana and they never do anything else. But guess what? There are many individuals who are drug addicts. And guess where they started? They started with marijuana. And because after they got used to marijuana, they could not get the high they first experienced, guess what they do? They now step to another drug that produces the high they used to get when they smoked marijuana. So there is that temptation. If your child begins to smoke marijuana a few weeks, a few months later, all of a sudden they're engaged in something even bigger than marijuana because they want that same high. That's a danger, folks. How about this one? Problems in school, problems in relationships. Many kids who smoke marijuana watch their grades fall, watch their attendance start to fall, and they begin to have relationship problems with teachers. They have relationship problems with their friends. They begin to have relationship issues with their mom and dad. Some individuals begin just to hibernate from all of society. Thirdly, many people who smoke marijuana involve themselves in different kinds of criminal behavior. Two of the biggest are lying and theft. And both of those are condemned in Scripture, aren't they? But you see, what happens is your inhibitions are what? Lessened. And the things you would never do, you begin to do. You would never lie, but because your inhibitions are lowered, you begin to lie. Because your inhibitions are lessened, you are not afraid to steal from other individuals. And many other crimes have been committed as well. And folks, there's also the possibility that an individual can become addicted to marijuana. Now I want you to think about those four things. Marijuana tempts me, possibly, to take more high-powered drugs. Marijuana causes me to have problems in school. Problems causes me to have troubles in my relationships. Sometimes it causes me to engage in criminal behavior, and I can become an addict to that marijuana. Let me ask you this. Does that lead to a good example for others? A person who engages in those kind of things, doing those kind of things, can they honestly go to another person and say, hey, why don't you follow my example and you'll be just fine? You'll make it straight to heaven. Do you think they can say that? No. And the Bible tells us, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity, in spirit and faith and purity. Folks, we are to be examples that others can follow. And you can't do that puffing on marijuana. You just can't do it. Got another question. And it's closely tied to the one that we just asked. And here it is. Can Christians use medical marijuana and CBD? Now we just said, don't use what? Marijuana. Now we're being asked, can we use medical marijuana? Well, let's start with this answer. Did you know doctors and medicine are oftentimes mentioned in Scripture? Let's start with doctors. I find it interesting that one of the individuals who mentions doctors is Jesus in Matthew 9:12. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are what? Sick. Jesus knew sick folks need doctors. Jesus understood that. And He even authorizes it, doesn't He? If you're a sick individual, you need a doctor. No problems with that. When we turn to Colossians 4, verse 14, we read about a doctor in Scripture, don't we? The Bible says this, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you, the beloved physician. Luke was a righteous man. Luke was a Christian. Luke was a man who traveled with the Apostle Paul on many of his missionary journeys. And guess what Luke was? He was a doctor, a physician. Nothing wrong with doctors when you're sick. And the Bible also makes mention of medicine. We turn over to the book of Jeremiah 8:22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Interesting that it mentions doctors and what? Medicine in Scripture, doesn't it? Paul writing to Timothy says, drink no longer water. Well, what do you want me to drink? Take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine oft infirmities. Wine? Don't drink water. Drink a little wine for your stomach's sake and your oft infirmities. Folks, what is he using it as? He's using it as a medication, isn't he? Sorry about that. There it is. Revelation 3, verse 18. What does he tell us to do? He says, spiritually, he says, we might need eye salve. He told those individuals at Laodicea, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou might see. You want to know what's interesting about that? Laodicea was the place where they produced eye salve as a medication physically as well. So the Bible says what? People are going to get sick, and doctors are okay, and medicine is okay. So let's keep that as the foundation in answer to this question. Secondly, what about the use of miracle marijuana? Did you know that there are many, many medicines that come from plants? Bunches of them. I only used a few because most of them I can't even say. But how about this one? Opiates. We've all heard of opiates, and opiates have been used as medications. Some of you may have been put on opiates in times past, and they come from the poppy plant. Does anybody say, oh, don't you dare use an opiate as far as medicinal purposes are concerned? Nobody ever says that. There's another medicine called Taxol, and it comes from the bark of the Pacific yew, a plant. Another one, penicillin, comes from mold. I used to take penicillin until I got allergic to it. Don't take it anymore. And then there's another, marijuana. And guess what it comes from? It comes from a cannabis plant. Here's something interesting. If marijuana had never been used as an illegal recreational drug and had only ever been marketed as a prescription drug, there would not be one person who would be in opposition to it, would they? What did the doctor prescribe for you? Well, a few opiates. Nobody said, oh boy. Now we know a little bit more about opiates. Now they're pretty harmful to you. But the same would have been true talking about cannabis. What did the doctor prescribe? Well, he prescribed a little bottle of cannabis in order to get over this particular illness. Nobody would have thought a word about that. See, it's because it was an illegal drug that we have problems with it now being medical marijuana. Let's talk about miracle marijuana. Did you know it's existed as a medicine for a long, long, long period of time in a lot of different societies? I've only given four: Egypt, India, China, Greece. All of them have used cannabis and the qualities found in cannabis to treat medical conditions. It's not something new. Secondly, medical marijuana must be prescribed by a doctor, so you're under a doctor's care. Thirdly, the prescription of medical marijuana regulates the intake of that drug into an individual's body. That's not so when you're using it recreationally, is it? Oh, I think I'll stop at a fourth of a joint. Never heard anybody say that. Also, it does not have the high that is produced by smoking marijuana. You see, they use certain aspects, certain elements of the marijuana plant in order to produce medical marijuana, and it is without the THC, which creates the high in individuals. So it doesn't create this loss of your mental capabilities. And then lastly, you have to be 18 years old to purchase it from a dispensary. So it's well regulated, just like any medications today, when it's medical marijuana. And it treats a lot of things, doesn't it? Appetite loss. It treats Alzheimer's disease. They found that it can help Crohn's disease, a stomach problem. It can assist individuals with cancer and eating disorders. It helps in other mental conditions other than just Alzheimer's. It helps glaucoma patients, muscle pains. It assists with multiple sclerosis, and also it can help pain and nausea. It's amazing, isn't it? As a medicine, it's one thing. As a recreational drug, it is another thing, isn't it? I sincerely believe as long as it's used as a medicine, just like Paul exhorted Timothy to do with wine, It's an acceptable product under a physician's care. Now, somebody asked about CBD oil. That's pretty prominent today, isn't it? You drive down the beach, and they're just store after store after store that sells CBD oil. Somebody say, well, what in the world is CBD oil? CBD oil is an oil that is produced from one of the 100 elements of the marijuana plant. It comes from what is known as cannabinol. They take the cannabinol out of the plant and they place it into an oil and it is used medicinally. There is no high because there is no THC in the product. It's used for anti-inflammatory medication. It's used for a pain reliever. It's used also for alleviating stress and anxiety. And it's been known if you rub it on eczema and acne, that it can help heal those two problems. So it's nothing more than a medicine. It is not used for a high like recreational marijuana is. So we have to make a distinction between recreational marijuana and medical marijuana. Question number three. Toughest question of the day. Here it is. Is it in conflict to listen to Christian music like Toby Mac and Jars of Clay outside the auspices of worship? Now, some people might say, well, who in the world is Toby Mac and Jars of Clay? Notice that we have the word Christian music in italics. It's religious music. But these kind of groups sing religious music with the accompaniment of instruments of music. And so we're really being asked, is it okay to sing and to listen to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to the accompaniment of instrumental music outside of the worship? Well, let's start first with inside the worship. How about that? In the churches of Christ, we've been extremely dogmatic, have we not, about a cappella singing only in worship. Isn't that true? Notice I use that little word dogmatic. Everybody goes, oh, they're dogmatic, as if that's bad. That's not bad. Not if you look up the definition. Conforming to doctrine, dogmatic. There's some things it's okay to be dogmatic on, folks. Nothing wrong with that. And the world might ask, well, why are you so dogmatic about a cappella music? Well, it involves a matter of what? Divine authority, doesn't it? Everything we do religiously, we're supposed to have divine authority. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him. Everything we do, in word, in deed, everything, we must have the name of Jesus to authorize it. When we look at the New Testament and the command to sing, that's all we find, isn't it? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, Ephesians 5:19. The only authority we have in worship is to sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. Folks, there is no authority for instruments of music in the New Testament in worship to the Almighty God. There's no authority for that. Using them is what? An addition. And the Bible condemns additions to His Word, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. He that heareth the word of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book, Revelation 22:18. I find it interesting, too, that if you go back and you study church history, for 600 years, there are no instruments of music used in the worship of the church. Even when the church apostatized into the Catholic Church, there is no instruments of music in the church for the first 600 years. Even the word a cappella means in the manner of the church. This is how the church did it. How did they do it? Without instruments. So it's very clear, isn't it, that we should not use instruments of music in our worship. Now, as far as outside of our worship assembly, most individuals believe that playing religious songs on instruments of music is acceptable outside of worship, don't they? Many members of the church even play guitars, pianos, to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs outside of the worship assembly. And many Christians like to listen to Christian music. That is, music with the accompaniment of instruments that are psalms and hymns and spiritual songs sung outside of the worship service. Listen on their headphones, listen as they're driving down the road in their car, wherever it is, at home. And most of the time we say, that's perfectly fine. It's not in the worship, can't do it in worship, but out here, it's okay. So the person is asking, is it really okay? There's only one verse that bears hard on my mind, okay? And I mean it bears hard on my mind. And it's James 5, verse 13. James, an inspired writer, says this, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any among you merry? Let him sing psalms." Now let's talk about James 5, verse 13 for just a minute. Notice first, the verse is not referring to a worship service. Not referring to that. Is any among you afflicted? Guess what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to pray. Is any among you merry? Let him what? Let him sing psalms. The authorization is what? To sing. That's what James says, to sing. Now, here's my question. Why don't we apply the same logic here as we apply to Ephesians 5, 19? We say Ephesians 5, 19 applies to worship. He commands us to sing. Therefore, that's what we must do is sing, and we cannot play instruments of music. We now have a verse, James 5, 13, that involves something outside of worship. And what does he tell us to do? He says to sing psalms. And my question is, why don't we apply the same logic to James 5, 13 as Ephesians 5, 19? We don't, for some reason. I just ask why. Some will reply this way. Well, Vic, the Bible doesn't say you cannot use instruments of music outside of the worship assembly. It doesn't say that. Here's my problem. Folks, that's not the way that you and I go about obtaining Bible authority. We don't obtain Bible authority by what the Bible doesn't say. That's what we've told the denominational world all along, haven't we? What we do is we go into the Bible and we find out what the Bible has to say about a topic. And we abide by what the Bible has to say, not about what the Bible doesn't say. So what does the Bible say? The Bible says, "Is any among you merry? Let him sing psalms." Now, if we abide by the principle that I just put before you, guess what? I know in my mind, we will never, ever, ever be wrong in the sight of God. Never. That's the principle by which we operate, isn't it? And I know, too, that when I stand before God, there's only going to be one standard of judgment, one standard of authority by which I'm judged. We mentioned that in our previous lesson. And that's what? By the Word of the living God. John 12, 48. Now here's my last point on this. All I'm trying to do is to be consistent in our application of the Word of God. If we take one verse that says something and we make this application of it, and then we have another verse that says this, we are to make the same type of application to our lives in order to be consistent in our interpretation of God's Word. Got to do that. I find it interesting in this lesson, we've looked at two issues that are 2,000 years removed from the first century, haven't we? The apostles never heard of marijuana. Isn't that something? 2,000 years away, you think the apostles dealt with marijuana? Don't let your kids smoke marijuana. I've never read that in the Bible. And the apostles never had to deal with Christian music. Never had to deal with that. Did they? At least not that. I mean, when I say Christian music, the way it is used today, Christian music. And yet, what we find is this. The principles of the Bible are still relevant and are still enduring today, aren't they? Now remember, people think the Bible's not relevant. The Bible's outdated. That's not the case at all, folks. Peter let us know very plainly that that will never be the case. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to what? Life, the way we live our lives, and godliness, our relationship with God, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. There will never be an issue in our society from now till Jesus comes again that will not somehow be addressed in the pages of this book if only we will abide by what the good book has to say. We'll stand before God in the last day, judged by it, and be found innocent, won't we? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Aren't those the words we want to hear? They're the words I want to hear in the last day for certain. Maybe you're not a Christian and you need to be one. You've never maybe even heard what the Bible really says about becoming one. Jesus said, "For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins." John 8:24. Jesus also said, "I tell ye nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Luke 13:3. He spoke these words, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 10:32. And it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:16. Jesus said what? "Believe on me, repent of your sins, confess me before men, and be immersed, baptized, in order to be saved." Do you need to do that this morning? We beg with you and plead with you to do that. Maybe you're a child of God and you're erring and you need to make things right with God. Maybe there's sin in your life you need to repent of